to the Dive and Dig News Podcast. This week, we're going to return to the Mediterranean, and I'm going to be joined by a colleague of mine, Dr. Crystal Al-Safadi, the Honor Frost Foundation Associate Professor in Maritime Archaeology at the University of Southampton. Crystal had a somewhat unexpected adventure last summer while she was doing some research in Cyprus, and she's here now to tell us a bit more about it. Hello, Crystal. How are you? It's nice to see you.
Thank you. Hi, Lizzie.
Yeah. Well, actually, it is quite nice to see you, really, because I hear that not so long ago, you were floating around in the Mediterranean and some things went a little bit wrong.
It happened all on the 29th of September, and we were in the Mediterranean off the coast of Cyprus, and we were doing an experimental sailing trip with Kyrenia Liberty, which is a replica or reconstruction of the Kyrenia shipwreck, which is a 4th century BC wreck in the Mediterranean, a Greek wreck that was found off the Kyrenia coast in North Cyprus. So the plan was to do an experimental sailing with the Kyrenia Liberty to capture the data, capture the performance of the vessel, capture how it was, you know, going, performing under different wind conditions and on the different sail courses and with different sail forms as well. So that is when the event, the so-called inadvertent sinking event, happened.
Oh dear. Okay. So how did you, I do recall, it was really quite scary. And I imagine that actually, I mean, it was bad enough sort of hearing it from a distance and trying to work out if everybody was all right. But I imagine that it would have been really actually quite scary when you were in the middle of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was quite scary when it was happening, and it all happens really quickly, doesn't it? Like one thing happened and then without realizing it, you're in the water, you're all in the water, and the ship is on its side. And but then in the moment, you're not really scared. You just go into that phase of kind of survival, checking if everyone is okay, checking, you know, making sure that everyone is fine, making sure that, you know, we're all okay, we're floating. So in the moment, it all happens really quickly, and your body just goes into that mode of, you know, survival. What do I need to do? What do we need to do to get ourselves out of that situation?
I mean, it's really, because, I mean, as far as I'm aware, and in fact, in previous podcasts, I've interviewed Glavkos Kadioru, I think that's how you pronounce his surname, who's the skipper of Kyrenia Liberty. He's worked with this boat, he was involved with the reconstruction, he's worked with the boat, he's taken kids out on it. I mean, he's been sailing around the Mediterranean for a long time. So what exactly happened that, you know, that caused such a dramatic event in such a short period of time?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yes, of course, Glavkos has been sailing, and the whole team, the crew of the Kyrenia Liberty, have been, you know, sailing and using the vessel and taking kids and archaeologists and scientists and all of it on board the boat. And obviously, there's a lot of experience as well. Glavkos himself, you know, was sailing the Kyrenia too previously. So there's a lot of experience there sailing a square sail vessel, sailing the Kyrenia, different reconstructions of the Kyrenia shipwreck. And what happened really was a series of unfortunate events, basically. So what happened is that, first of all, the weather condition was not as what we predicted. So the wind was much stronger than what we anticipated. And it's not just the strength of the wind, it's actually the gust. So it was gusting a lot. So we anticipated the wind around, it was meant to be around 17 to 20 knots, and then the gust wasn't as strong. And then when we actually went out, it was quite strong. It was gusting around 28, 27 knots, and that's a lot. Yeah, so that happened. So the weather was not as we anticipated as we came out of the Limassol Marina. Then it was, yeah, basically a series of unfortunate events in that the first quarter rudder broke, and that was the rudder on the starboard side. That broke, first of all, and that broke, I think, around maybe 2 hours into our journey, and we just heard a crack, and then you could see we have video footage actually of the loom where it broke. So it broke on the attachment to the boat, and this is the weakest point And from experience and what Glafko said, this is where the breakage usually happens. So it broke there, and then we tried to repair it. And there's, in fact, a video of Pat Tanner, Dr. Pat Tanner, doing the repair of the quarter rudder. But we had to obviously remove it from the water. So we were, the whole boat was functioning under, it's under stress from strong gusts, and it's under stress in the water. And it was all of that force then was going on the remaining quarter rudder, which is the quarter rudder that was on the port side. And so between the first quarter rudder breaking and the boat as well was taking on water, because the planks were a bit dry, and that's what happens with the wooden, it's expected, but it was taking on perhaps a bit more water than expected. And so we were bailing that water out, but what that does is that it creates more instability in the boat. So there's a bit of that, and then I think between the first quarter rudder breaking and the second one, maybe there was about an hour or 50 minutes or so. Because all the energy, all the force was on the other one then. And then we heard the crack
Oh God, that must have been so scary when you're thinking, oh no, I have no way to control which direction this
Exactly.
boat's
Imagine you're
going.
like, and in our modern understanding, like, when I was on the boat and I was like, okay, this is not a normal sailing vessel. We This is really a reconstruction of a 4th century BC. It feels old. It feels very, very old. It feels ancient, in fact. So between the first one breaking and the second quarter rudder breaking, when the second quarter rudder broke, it really was a matter of, I don't know. I mean, in my mind, it was a matter of seconds between that happening and us being in the water, but it was a bit longer than that. But it just, when you're in the moment, it broke, and then we tried to, Glafko's jumped to get into the tender, the rib that we had with us, and then just, within seconds, then the boat just turned, and it was across the wind. So the wind and the waves were coming on the starboard side, and we just, all of us were on the starboard side holding on to the ropes, and we just kind of capsized, and we were about 3 kilometers and a bit from the coast. We could see the coast. I mean, we could see the land, but at the same time, you could see land, but you knew that you wouldn't be able to swim that distance. At some point, I looked around and I was like, it feels, yeah, it's not like you're scared for your life, but there's a point of like, is anyone going to find us? There's that moment of unknown being in the middle of the ocean, and you do feel that fear, and it's, yeah.
Well, thank God they came, they found you. And
I mean, they were fantastic. The rescue team were amazing, really.
so if you're going to capsize, folks, make sure you do it off the coast of Cyprus because. But the other thing that was really bizarre was it didn't sink, did she?
It
Kyrenia
didn't
Liberty,
sink.
no.
No, and everyone, when we were sailing, Christina, who was one of the crew member, and Glafkos, and they were like, she's not gonna sink. This boat doesn't sink. And I was like, and I felt really comfortable when we were sailing, because I was like, well, it's not gonna sink. We're not gonna sink because the boat doesn't sink.
But they didn't say this boat doesn't capsize. They just said it doesn't sink. Yeah, well, I guess if it's just a piece of wood, it's going to float, isn't it? But what about all the kit, though? You had loads of kit, because I remember when you were preparing it all and.
Yeah, so we had a lot of kit. We had a lot of the technical kit that we got with us to capture all of the performance of the vessel, and all of that was attached at various bit. We had our personal belongings and everything. So when the actually when the boat capsized, obviously all the ropes and all the stuff started floating around. So we had to move away from the ship because it was a dangerous point being around it, because it could easily get tangled with all of the ropes and the floating stuff. So we had to move away and hold ourselves onto the rib and wait for the rescue to come. But all the kit was, well, it was with the boat, but and then it just went into probably the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea, or still, washing ashore, because actually there was the what was it? One of the oars was found, discovered on the coast, so it had washed ashore, in Cyprus. So there was bits of stuff that was washing ashore, which is fantastic in itself because you could track where it was ending up. So between the point where we capsized and where Kyrenia Liberty was found, so there was a lot of drifting happening. And so all of the equipment and the boat and so on, there's, you know, it's very interesting in terms of thinking about the wrecking and sinking process and where things end up, the stuff that we see in our record.
So it's very interesting. So are you going to write a paper about the whole process?
Yes, know,
the
I will.
I think you should, because it's not every day that maritime archaeologists actually get to get involved with the sinking, which ultimately, if we think about it, it's the bit on the bottom that we end up finding. It's a good job it wasn't full of amphora, as it would have been, because I know they've done experiments when it has been full of amphora, and that would have taken it down. That's when she would have sunk.
Yes, that's when she would have sunk. But in our case, we had the water tanks that were making up for the ballast. And the water tanks, I think one or two floated, or maybe one floated away, and then the rest stayed in their place in the boat. But yes, I mean, that's the, you know, it is very interesting because it's the information that we don't get to experiment. And it's actually, you know, you cannot get away with, you know, you cannot go and tell the university that we're going to do an experimental capsize or saying that's not going to go through the risk assessment. In fact, we did record, and our experiences as well are very valuable here. And I think this is, again, a very important aspect of experimental archaeology is the emotions that you feel and what you go through, especially as people who write about it or research it. So being on the boat and going through all of that, now I have a totally different understanding and perspective of sailing ships, of, you know, how people go out at sea. And it's things that I understood previously, but being on the boat and experiencing it is different. So now, I think, before I go on a trip on any vessel, I will make an offering. To the gods of the sea, to whoever.
Are you thinking of getting back on Kyrenia Liberty by any chance? Or?
Well, I mean, hopefully, yes. If, you know, once all the repairs are done. And ideally, what really I wanted to do, and what I think a number of us wanted to do as well, is to sail from Cyprus to Lebanon and back from Lebanon to Cyprus and do a longer journey, because that will, I mean, doing that and try and do it based on traditional navigational methods and all of it and capturing it as well, because, you know, for instance, Glafkos and the crew and everyone, there's experience as well of sailing these ships. Not anyone can just jump on board of Kyrenia Liberty and go and sail it. So there's a new experience that's been developed there to sail these reconstructions.
Yeah, no, that would be an amazing journey, especially. But can you promise me you'll check the forecast properly before you go back? Thanks. I mean, how are you funding the repair work? Because I imagine it's not cheap.
No, I mean, this goes back to the Kyrenia Krisokova Foundation. So the foundation that looks after the boat and Kyrenia Liberty. And they have a GoFundMe page. And I think now, and, you know, this is for the team and the crew, and I think they're working towards perhaps having the boat being adopted by the government. So there's funding that goes to the Kyrenia Liberty from the Cypriot government, and there's been, you know, a lot of attention and care being given to the ship since after the event.
So thank you, Crystal, for sharing, and also to the Kyrenia Liberty crew. We wish you all the best with repairing the ship. And so don't forget about that fundraising site. I think they need as much support as they can get. So I hope you enjoyed the Dive and Dig podcast, news podcast, brought to you by the Honor Frost Foundation, a charity that supports maritime archaeology in the Eastern Mediterranean. And I hope that you will tune in to listen to our next news piece again soon. Cheers.